This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. Every Friday, we get together with 12th District Congressional Representative Debbie Dingell. The Dearborn Democrats district does cover portions of Washtenaw County. Now, originally, our conversations were entirely focused on COVID-19. But the national outcry at police brutality and renewed calls for real racial justice have expanded our conversations. Representative Dingell, thank you once again for joining us today.
Good morning, David. It's great to be with you.
You've co-sponsored police reform legislation called the Justice in Policing Act of 2020. Its goal is to reform police actions and track and hold police accountable for misconduct. If adopted, what does it change?
Well, it would do a number of things. First of all, it would redefine police misconduct from a willfulness to a recklessness standard, which would result in, hopefully, when police were being held more accountable, they're just thinking about what they're doing. I think one of the most important things it's going to do is to, you know, one of the biggest problems, and it's what you saw in Minneapolis, is this was an officer who killed George Floyd that had had 18 other complaints. And it's very easy for a policeman to leave one police department and go to another police department, and there's no record of his behavior. It would create a national registry so that we would know when you have bad actors. It would offer grants to incentivize the states. We think it's really important that there be independent investigative structures for police involved in deaths. It would define what best practices are. It would mandate that the state and law enforcement agencies report the use of force data and disaggregate it by race, sex, disability, religion, and age, so you can see if one segment of the population is, if blacks or if women are being treated differently. You know, it would, you know, do a number of other things. It would mandate training on racial bias and profiling. It would eliminate no-knock warrants. And the biggest thing that it would do, which you've seen the Republicans in the last 24 hours really call for, too, is to ban chokeholds and carotid holds, which is what killed George Floyd. It would change standards on for the use of force. And it would also address the militarization of our local police departments. It does, and the body cameras would have to be on at all the times. You know, that's another problem that we have when we have these kinds of incidences. Oh, the police, the body camera was off. Well, we need to have that story. We need to have that video.
Well, and on the back end, one of the great difficulties has been when these incidents occur, police are not held accountable, and a part of that is the standard of qualified immunity that police are granted. It would reform that as well, and it is something that has not garnered a whole lot of support among many Republicans and certainly the President of the United States.
You know, I've had a lot of discussions. I also want to say to people that we have a lot of good law enforcement members, and this has been a very complicated, very trying time. I'm going to have three marches today. They will be my 12th, 13th, and 14th in the last 10 days. And the police chiefs in almost every one of these cities has been out marching with the kids, making it safe, talking to them, having real discussions. And I got to tell you, my law enforcement in the communities that I'm working in during COVID have done wellness checks for me every week. I work with a lot of domestic abuse victims. They're incredible in working with them, but they're also social workers. I've got veterans that have post-traumatic stress syndrome. These guys are the first guys out there trying to help people. And we need to, you know, recognize the important work they do, but they don't have the training for it either. So you know, and I'm saying this, policemen and teachers have become social workers. We need to invest more in mental health and education, and a lot of other issues that are causing a lot of these root problems. Well, but there are bad actors, and we can no longer hide those bad actors or cover up for them. They've got to be addressed.
Past attempts at some broad federal overhaul of police practices have failed to bring about any kind of lasting change. Back in 2014, after a white police officer killed an 18-year-old unarmed black man named Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, there was a call for swift legislative action to address the issue of racial bias in policing. Little was achieved at that time. What chance does this bill have?
I think this bill has a great deal of chance. I think we are at a crossroads. I think you are seeing grassroots movements across the country. You're in Washtenaw, Ipsy and Ann Arbor, I'm in all the time. People are used to being involved at the grassroots level, marching, talking, big. It doesn't happen in little communities. It doesn't. And when you go to these events, David, it's incredible. I was on Grove's Hill last Saturday. There were close to 500 people, and they were all walks of life. They were young, and they were old, and they were diverse, and people want change. And then when you get people acknowledging that we have a real problem in this country and we must get change, it's when you see Mitt Romney and Tim Scott and Rand Paul and Lisa Murkowski from different parts of the country, Republicans, who quite frankly, other than Mitt Romney, haven't stood up to Donald Trump before, saying it's time. And even Kevin McCarthy yesterday couldn't name something that was wrong with his police bill you and I just talked about. You did mention the one area that we have to talk through more, which is the liability issue. Because Fred Upton told me of his sheriff that's one of the most popular people that if it passes will quit the next day. So we've got to figure out how do you hold individuals like the policeman that killed George Floyd responsible? How do you make sure that he is liable? But how do you protect from everyday kinds of things that people may just... It's complicated, but we got to make sure that police, every individual knows that they are accountable.
This is 89.1 WEMU, and our conversation with 12th District U.S. Representative Debbie Dingell continues. And as you mentioned, people have been out in the streets, and part of that is to address policing and brutality. But there's also the issue of systemic racism that is at the heart of what we're talking about. It touches virtually all aspects of our life. Again, you've mentioned a groundswell of support for reform. But there is very questionable odds of significant change making it out of the Senate and White House. In your view, what is the best approach to address those systemic issues?
I think people have to keep talking about it. I participated yesterday, and I just planned on listening. One of the colleges in the district had a town hall, a very significant number of several hundred students participated in the Zoom town hall. And the president had included young people. And I heard one of the most open, raw conversations, quite frankly, between young black students and Arab American students. We have to have some real conversation, some real dialogue, a real recognition of what it's like to be black in America or Arab American in this country. People are afraid to have these conversations. They're uncomfortable. The real conversations and real change makes us uncomfortable.
One of the conversations that has made so many uncomfortable over the years is growing louder once again, and that is the call for reparations. Do you support reparations as a part of the systemic racism solution?
You know, Congress is establishing a reparations commission, and I don't know what the answer is. You know, sometimes, David, it's okay to just say, I don't know what the answer is. I'm studying it. I'm doing a lot of reading right now. If you look at the New York Times bestseller list this last week, there are a lot of us that are doing a lot of reading right now on this topic. Top 10 books have dramatically changed. But I'm very interested in what the commission's recommendations are going to be, and I'm doing a lot of research myself.
We're talking with Democratic Congresswoman Debbie Dingell on 89.1 WEMU. While we continue to address racism, we're also contending with an ongoing pandemic. 9 states have reopened their economy, are seeing swelling numbers of new COVID-19 cases. Some health experts say we'll lose close to another 100,000 people by end of summer. Do you think it's likely in some areas of the country we're going to see a second round of stay-at-home orders?
I don't know what the public health recommendations are going to be, but I'm going to tell you that the increase in COVID is very real. I'm very concerned. People are no longer wearing their mask or keeping physical distance. And I'm very clear you're seeing there's a General Motors plant in Wentzville, Missouri, that's seen an increase in the plant of more than 20 COVID cases. We're going to have to figure out how we deal with this. The experts are predicting a second spike. And quite frankly, I don't want to see anyone else die. So we're going to have to do something.
As the economy struggles to get into recovery mode, individuals, businesses, hospitals, still all waiting to see if the next relief package will make its way to reality. Last we spoke, you thought we might see that by July. Are you still that optimistic?
Well, when we talked last week, I was hoping that the Senate was going to see wisdom and get it done by the end of June, but I do believe we will get it in July. We have to get it in July. There's just no way. I mean, there's a new article today talking about what's going to happen to people that are renting and mortgage payments, that suddenly they're all going to come due, and what's going to happen. We can't have people homeless. We have to deal with these many problems that have been caused by COVID and help people be secure. That is a moral responsibility we have.
I'm going to be off next week, so we'll check in on progress on all of these matters when we talk again on June 26th. I thank you for the time today, and I'll look forward to that conversation.
Thank you, David. Have a good week. Off next week, and when you talk to me on the 26th, the House will be considering the police brutality bill.
And we'll get the very latest from Congresswoman Debbie Dingell. That is your 12th District Congresswoman. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.